Well, good morning once again, Plantation Community Church. I'm Pastor Ray. For those of you who may be guests watching this message this morning. And our message this morning comes from the Psalms in the Old Testament. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn with me at this time to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This morning, we're going to be looking at the topic of coronavirus and God's protective care. We are in the midst of a global pandemic. And I wanted us to take some time this morning to look at this psalm, Psalm 91, and to see what God says to us from this psalm about our situation. So we're going to be looking at the whole psalm this morning, but to get started, I'm just going to read verses 4 through 7. So Psalm 91 in verses 4 through 7. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. This is the word of God. Will you please join me in prayer at this time? Well, Father God, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we just ask now that you'd speak to us through this beautiful psalm, that you'd speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would help us with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Psalm 91, and Psalm 91 is really a very famous psalm. It's a psalm that speaks of God's protection. It's probably the passage of scripture I've seen most quoted during this whole pandemic. And one reason for this is that Psalm 91 speaks specifically about sickness and plague. And so it applies directly to our situation today, doesn't it? But another reason that this is simply a wonderful psalm for us today is that this is a psalm that is chock full of God's promises for us to claim really at any time or in any disaster. It is a powerful and encouraging psalm that speaks to us of God's protective care for his people. It is also a psalm that has been misused and misinterpreted over the years, and so we want to look at that as well. So our question this morning is simply this: how do you, personally, how do you come to know and experience God's protective care, even during a pandemic? How do you come to know and experience God's protective care? And Psalm 91 teaches us four things we want to look at this morning. And let me share all four of them with you right up front. Number one, trust God. Number two, do not fear. Number three, look to God for protection. And number four, rest in God's love. So trust God, do not fear, look to God for protection, and finally, rest in God's love. So let's take a look at all four of these together. They all come from our psalm this morning. First of all, trust God, right? This is where it all begins. This is what it really all comes down to. Do you trust God? And it's important to note here that when we talk about trusting God, we're also talking about trusting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In other words, it's not enough simply to trust that there is some divine being out there somewhere. If you really want to know God's protective care in your life, you must trust the one true God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You must come to God trusting his Son, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. Now, there are two things that Psalm 91 tells us about trusting God in these verses. And let's look at each of these now. First, we should dwell in the shelter of the Most High. We should dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Look at verse 1 with me now as we begin. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And you see, those two parts go together, don't they? If you want to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, if you want to rest in God's protective care, what do you need to do? First, you must dwell in the shelter of the Most High. If you want to rest in God's care, you must dwell in the shelter of the Lord. Now, we hear a lot about sheltering in place these days, don't we? Right? Stay at home, they say, don't go out. I only go out for groceries and essentials. And sheltering in place is very important, right? It's helped us to flatten that curve. It's helped us to stop the rapid spread of this disease. But the Bible talks about something even more important than sheltering in place, and that is to shelter in the Lord. To shelter in the Lord. And not only shelter in the Lord, but to dwell in the shelter of the Lord. That's what our psalm says this morning. Dwell in the shelter of the Lord. Stay there. Live there. You know, the authorities may tell you to stay in your homes, but the Bible tells you to stay in the Lord. Now, do what the authorities say, okay? Stay in your home until it's safe to come out. But when you do need to go out, perhaps for groceries or other items, make sure you stay in the Lord. You may need to leave the shelter of your home, but you never need to leave the shelter of God's care. How do you trust God during a pandemic? First of all, dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And then secondly, say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress. Look at verse 2 with me now. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you are in Christ this morning, then know this, God is your refuge and your fortress. He is your refuge and your fortress. So what do? You say it. You say it. Don't just read the words. Don't just think it. Don't just think about it. Say it. Say it out loud. Proclaim it. There is power in speaking God's word out loud. So let's do that right now. Let's do that. Okay, let's say it out loud together. Ready? Let's do this. Ready? The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Does that feel good? Let's do that again. Say it again. Ready? The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You see, as you speak those words, you will feel the truth of them, and they will strengthen your faith. They will help you to trust God, even when bad things are happening all around you. Say it out loud. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I think we just found a good memory verse for this week, right? Put that one down, memorize it, speak it often throughout the week. So how do you come to know and experience God's protective care in your life? First of all, number one, trust God. Trust God. That's where it all begins. And then secondly, the Bible tells us, do not fear. Do not fear. Now, this is one of the most repeated commands in the whole Bible. Someone said that there are 365 occurrences of this command in God's word, one for each day of the year. I've never counted, but that sounds good to me. But it is a wonderful promise and a wonderful encouragement we have. Do not fear. Why is it that you do not have to fear as a Christian? Well, we find a number of reasons right here in our psalm today. First of all, you do not need to fear because God covers you with His wings. God covers you with His wings. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me now. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Now, this is such a beautiful image, the image of a mother bird protecting her children under the cover of her wings. You know, the mother hides them under her wings. She's going to take the full force of the blast for them. Nothing can get at them without going through her first, right? And, you know, isn't that exactly what God did for us at the cross? God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to cover our sins with His blood. Jesus took the full force of the blast of God's wrath against sin for us. Nothing can get at us without going through God first. You know, we find a similar image to this in Psalm 57, verse 1. It's a psalm of David, where David prays like this. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." And know this, that this disaster, this coronavirus will pass. And in the meantime, you can take refuge in the shadow of God's wings. That's the first reason you do not need to fear. God covers you with his wings. And then a second reason you do not need to fear is that God is with you day and night. God is with you day and night. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me now. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. You do not need to fear. Why? Because God is with you day and night. That pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Right? Day and night. Now I know some of you are more afraid during the day. Right? It's during the day that you're tracking the numbers. It's during the day that you're watching the news reports. It's during the day that you might have to venture out shopping for food or essentials. And then there are some of you who are more afraid at night. Perhaps you wake up in the middle of the night and you worry about things. You worry about the virus. I know I've woken up a few times and you know, I wake up and, you know, and I feel some shortness of breath, right? Or I feel a tightness in my chest. And it would be so easy for me just to stay awake and to worry and wonder, you know, do I have it? Do I have the coronavirus? Now, if I'm really experiencing symptoms, then I need to call 911 right away, right? But if it's just a general wondering or fear, then what do I need to do? I need to give that over to the Lord and go back to sleep, right? Psalm 121, another wonderful psalm, says this. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. You know what that means? It means God works the night shift. You ever think about that? God stays awake so you don't have to. God never slumbers or sleeps, which means that you can. And you can sleep in peace, knowing that the Lord watches over you. You do not need to fear. And then a third reason you do not need to fear is that God is with you no matter how bad it gets. Okay, no matter how bad it gets. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me now. It says this, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now, this is important. The Bible makes it very clear. It's very clear that God makes a distinction. He makes a distinction between those who belong to him and those who do not. Now, God, in his grace, often protects those who do not know him or love him as well. But God has a special covenant relationship with his people. God has a special family relationship with his adopted children. God is with you no matter how bad it gets. Now, I know a lot of people are afraid of this coronavirus. They're afraid of the numbers. They're afraid for their paycheck. They're afraid of getting sick. They're afraid of dying. But 1 Peter 3:14 says this to us as believers. It says, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. No matter what the count is around you, God is with you in a special way. You do not need to fear as the numbers rise, and whether it's thousands or tens of thousands, as it says in the psalm, God is there to love you and protect you. God is with you no matter how bad it gets. How do you come to know and experience God's protective care for you even during a pandemic? Trust God. Do not fear. And then number three, look to God for protection. Look to God for protection. And there are some just wonderful promises from God for us in this next section of the psalm. And all of them have to do with our theme this morning, God's protective care for his children. So let's take a look at these promises together. There are three of them. First of all, no harm will befall you. No harm will befall you. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. You see, when you are in Christ, when you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, when God covers you with his wings, you are absolutely safe. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can penetrate God's defenses because nothing is bigger than God. Psalm 139, verse 16, puts it this way. It says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That tells us God knows the day of your birth and he knows the day of your death. And nothing can change God's purpose and will for your life. There is no safer place in the world. There is no safer place for you than in the center of God's will. Stonewall Jackson was a famous general in the Civil War. He also had a very strong faith in God. I remember in the movie Gods and Generals, there's a scene where the bullets are just flying all around him, and he just stands strong and unafraid. And I love this quote from Stonewall concerning God's protective care in his life. This is what Stonewall Jackson said. My religious beliefs teach me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself with that, but to be always ready whenever it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and all men would be equally brave. When you are in Christ, know this, that you are absolutely safe in God's hands. No harm will befall you. What a beautiful promise from God. And then a second promise here is that God's angels are guarding you. God's angels are guarding you. Look at verses 11 and 12 now. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And so God not only watches over you from afar, he sends his personal security team, right? God commands his angels to guard you in all your ways. And parents, when it comes to your children, the Bible offers you a special promise from Jesus concerning God's angels. Jesus says this about children in Matthew 18:10. He says, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. And so, yes, God commands his angels to watch over all the saints. But, you know, Jesus gives us this special word of comfort to us concerning our children. And so then the third promise here now, the first promise, no harm will befall you. Second promise, God's angels are guarding you. Then the third promise in this section is that God gives you power over the enemy. Look at verse 13. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. You know, the enemy seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy, but God gives you power over the enemy. And so you do not need to be afraid. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, he's speaking about God here, fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And what is Jesus saying here? He's saying this, fear God and nothing else. Fear God, worship him, reverence him, put God first in your life, and you do not need to fear anything else in life. And so these are just three very beautiful and precious promises that we may claim for ourselves in this psalm. When you are in Christ, no harm will befall you. God's angels are guarding you, and God gives you power over the enemy. These are God's promises in his word to you. Now, there are two errors, okay? There are two errors we need to avoid when it comes to claiming God's promises in this psalm. I mentioned earlier that this is a very famous psalm of God's protection. Unfortunately, it is also famous for being misinterpreted and misused. And so I want us to look at these two errors to avoid when claiming God's promises. Okay? And the first error is this. Do not be foolish and use these promises to test the Lord. Do not be foolish and use these promises to test the Lord. You might wonder, well, how might I do that? How might I test God using these promises? Well, any number of ways. By acting like you are invulnerable, by not doing your part while asking God to do his part, by not taking proper precautions like washing your hands and practicing the social distancing and wearing a mask and gloves when you go out and sheltering in place. That's being foolish. That's testing the Lord. That's a misuse of God's promises. Do you know who else misused this very verse in the Bible? Someone very famous misused this actual verse, this actual promise from Psalm 91 in the Bible. You know who it is? Satan. Satan did that. Satan misused this verse when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. We read this in Matthew 4. It's fascinating here. Matthew 4 says, then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. And he's going to quote Psalm 91 here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So that's the first error to avoid. Don't be foolish and test the Lord in these things. God has promised to protect you from harm. He has not promised to protect you from foolishness. And then the second way that we misuse these verses, another error to avoid, is when we limit God's promises to this life only. When we limit God's promises to this life only. You see, God's promises apply to your whole life, both to now and to eternity. And just as it would be wrong to limit God's promises only to eternity, it's also wrong to limit God's promises to this life alone. And you see, if we limit Psalm 91 to this life only, we may get a false assurance, right? We may get the false assurance that Christians never get sick or die. But we know that's not true, right? Christians do get sick. We do die. God may protect you from the coronavirus, or God may protect you through the coronavirus. We need to remember Paul's famous words from Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, where Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Like Paul, we need to keep eternity in mind. Henry Martin was a missionary to India and Persia in the early 1800s. Henry Martin died of the plague when he was 31 years old. And he wrote this in his journal 9 months before he died. He knew the plague was there, and he wrote this. He said, to all appearance, the present year will be more perilous than any I have seen. But if I live to complete the Persian New Testament, my life after that will be of less importance. But whether life or death be mine, may Christ be magnified in me. If he has work for me to do, I cannot die. And so, yes, let us claim these precious and beautiful promises of God from Psalm 91. God has given us these promises to claim and to comfort us and to strengthen us. But let us also be careful to avoid these two errors Don't be foolish and test the Lord. Do not limit God's promises to this life only. How do you come to know and experience God's protective care in your life, even during a pandemic? Number one, trust God. Number two, do not fear. Number three, look to God for protection. And now finally, number four, rest in God's love. God loves you, and that makes all the difference. Now, how does God show you his love? There are three things we find here in our closing verses now. First of all, God rescues and protects his people. Look at verse 14 with me now. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. God offers a special protective care for his people that the world does not enjoy. Once again, this doesn't mean that Christians never get sick or die, but it does mean this, that there are many Christians who would have gotten sick from the coronavirus who will be spared because they belong to Christ. And there are many other Christians who do get sick who will be healed because they belong to Christ. You can rest in God's love knowing that God rescues and protects his people. And then a second way God shows us his love is he answers the prayers of his people. Look at verse 15. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And one of the great joys of being a Christian is seeing God answer the prayers that you bring to him in Jesus' name. And we will never know until we get to heaven how many people were spared from this coronavirus in answer to our prayers. But know this, your prayers make a difference. And you can rest in God's love knowing that God answers the prayers of his people. And then a third way God shows you his love is that God gives eternal life to his people. Look at verse 16 now with me as we close out this psalm. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And folks, this is God's greatest gift to us of all. No matter how long or short you live here on earth, you know, this life is only a breath. That's it. It's only a breath compared to eternity. Jesus says this in John 10:28 about those who belong to him. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. You know what that means? It means even if you get the coronavirus, even if you get sick or die, you are still in God's hands. And that means nothing can touch your justification in Christ. Nothing can touch your salvation. Nothing can take away God's forgiveness of your sins. You can rest in God's love, knowing that God gives his people eternal life, and nothing can touch us when you are in the palm of God's hand. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or we could even add, or the coronavirus? No, Paul writes, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I can't promise you that you won't get the coronavirus. I can't promise you that you won't get sick or die. I can't promise you that because God doesn't promise you that. What God does promise is something so much better. What God does promise is that when you are in Christ, no matter what happens, God will watch over you, he will be with you, and he will protect you. You are safe in Christ, and therefore nothing can ultimately harm you. God will either keep you from the coronavirus, He will heal you from the coronavirus, or He will bring you safely home. And you know what? Either way, you win. You win. So trust God. Do not fear. Look to God for protection and rest in God's love. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Father God, these are difficult and trying times. And Lord, it's very natural for us to worry or to give in to fear. But Lord, we thank you for this beautiful psalm, for these beautiful promises that you've given to us. Lord, I know some people are leaving their Bibles open to this psalm and they read it as they walk by. Lord, take these words, your words to us this morning. And may we walk forth today with a new confidence, a new faith, a new peace in our hearts. For we are in Christ, and therefore we are safe. Thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then these promises don't belong to you yet. But they can. And all you need to do is go to God and say, God, I'm so sorry. I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against your word. I'm so sorry. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. God, will you forgive me today? Will you forgive my sins? Please, God, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I want to follow you. I want to worship you only. And if you will pray that prayer, if you will come to God confessing your sins and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, the Bible tells us you will be saved. And then all of these beautiful promises that we've looked at this morning, they belong to you. They're yours in Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you do so today? God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Go in God's love. Go in His peace. Amen.